Good evening. It's 5 p.m. on Thursday, March 5th, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Current. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. In today's episode, a Queen's University student who inspired a national charity is bringing the first ever Cassian Friends Run to Kingston, raising awareness and support for children living with juvenile arthritis. Downtown Kingston is gearing up for a brand new music festival this fall as the BIA launches Road Trip, a multi-genre event designed to turn Princess Street into a day-long musical journey. And in hockey's birthplace, the Kingston Canadian Film Festival wrapped up its run this past weekend, bookending the festival with two films exploring the game through a new lens, highlighting stories of marginalized players at a time when hockey culture is a heated topic. Let's dive in. For most toddlers, learning to walk is one of the first big milestones. But for Cassie Port, that milestone suddenly disappeared. At just 20 months old, she woke up one morning unable to walk, a moment that would lead to a diagnosis that would shape the rest of her life. Cassie was diagnosed with juvenile idiopathic arthritis, a chronic autoimmune disease that causes joint inflammation, pain, fatigue, and without proper treatment, long-term damage in children. But what began as a frightening diagnosis eventually grew into something much bigger. The Cassie and Friends Run, a national charity helping families across Canada. I sat down with Cassie, now a third-year health sciences student at Queen's University, to talk about how it all began.
So my name's Cassie, and when I was 20 months old, I woke up and I just wouldn't walk. So I had been walking like the night before, and I just wouldn't walk that morning. And my knee was the size of a baseball. So my parents quickly rushed me to the hospital, where eventually I was diagnosed with juvenile idiopathic arthritis. So that's a bit different than like rheumatoid arthritis, which is found in older people. So I was diagnosed with juvenile idiopathic arthritis, or JIA. And my parents were searching and searching for support where they could meet other families with children with arthritis and stuff like that. But all they could find was arthritis support for older people. So my dad decided to sign up for the Scotiabank 5K run and raise a bit of money for research and stuff like that. And he sent it to some of his colleagues and his friends and practically overnight raised close to $18,000, which was very exciting. And we went to the run. We cheered on my dad. He ran the 5K. And that day, under the rainy tent, pretty much Cassie and Friends and the idea of it was born. And my parents wanted to be able to support other families like me and that had children like me or siblings like me, so other parents could meet each other, so other children could meet each other, and to raise money for research for juvenile arthritis.
Nearly two decades later, Cassie and Friends is Canada's only national charity dedicated to children and youth living with juvenile arthritis and other childhood onset rheumatic diseases. Cassie grew up attending events organized through the charity, meeting other kids facing the same challenges she did.
Cassie and Friends has always been a great support system for me. We've had events like other runs every single year. I'm from Vancouver, so I would go to the ones in Vancouver. We also had something called Family Day, which is a whole day with activities for the kids and conferences for the parents. So parents will listen to speakers that give them different tips or new research to support their children with arthritis, while the kids would do fun activities for different age groups and get to meet each other and make lots of friends. And, you know, like when I would go to school, no one would have arthritis or do injections once a week like me. So when I could meet other kids that were going through the same thing, it was very nice to have that support. And I've definitely been able to maintain a lot of those friendships.
That experience also helped shape Cassie's career ambitions and ultimately led her to Queen's.
Because I was so in the medical, like, I guess, in the medical world and like immersed in it from such a young age and going to all these doctor's appointments, that led me to become very interested in science. And just like anyone else, I was interested in science. I applied to Queen's Health Sciences and got in, which was very exciting. And I always knew I wanted to do something in medicine because I was so immersed in that world growing up. And as I started learning a bit more and studying, I became interested in pediatric rheumatology, which is the exact kind of doctor that I went to. And I just feel like I would have such a unique perspective for these other kids like me. And pretty much I just want to be able to help other kids like me. And that's what's led me down the path of medicine and specifically to pediatric rheumatology.
Now studying at Queens, Cassie is helping bring that support network to Kingston. On March 7th, Kingston will host the first ever Team Cassie and Friends run at City Park. The event is organized with the support of the Queens Rheumatic Disease Club, which brings together students living with arthritis and other rheumatic conditions.
I have to give credit, actually, to one of the old presidents of the Queens Rheumatic Disease Club. She started the Queens Rheumatic Disease Club when she got diagnosed. And the Queens Rheumatic Disease Club brings together Queens students with arthritis and other rheumatic diseases. We make care packages to send to other students with rheumatic diseases that have ice packs and heating pads and injection support and stuff like that, as well as having different events to bring people together. So similar to what Cassie and Friends does to meet other students with the same disease. And we decided to collaborate with Cassie and Friends and host one of these runs because a lot of different communities, like in Hamilton, they do them, in London, there's a lot of different community runs. And we thought, well, we have this club here, so why don't we have a run in Kingston? And that's how it came to be.
In addition to raising funds, the run is also about building community, something that can be difficult in smaller cities like Kingston.
I think that this really raises awareness that there can be rheumatic diseases in students. And the transition to any university is tough, like learning how to live alone and having so much more independence, cook your own meals, all that stuff. You have to adjust to that no matter what. And then when you have a rheumatic disease, there's added things to adjust to. Like I had to learn how to do my injections on my own before my mom had been doing them. Or it's so much colder here than back in Vancouver. And that definitely affects my joints as well. So there's just so many other aspects that you have to think about. And this run and Queens Rheumatic Disease Club in itself can bring all these Queens students together that have rheumatic diseases. And then for the Kingston community, since Kingston, there's no children's hospital here, and I'm pretty sure the closest ones would be like SickKids or in Ottawa. So a lot of these families that have children with rheumatic diseases, they have to travel really far to get their specific treatment. By hosting this run in Kingston, these families are able to meet other families in their community. And it's the same thing that Family Day does or these runs do in other places, is it allows them to meet other families in the Kingston community, especially when there's so few compared to those bigger cities.
Raising awareness is another major goal. According to recent polling, only about 1 in 5 Canadians know that arthritis can affect children. And yet, early diagnosis is critical, as delays can lead to joint damage, chronic pain, and long-term damage. Funds raised through Cassie and Friends support research, family support programs, and improved treatments.
So right now, the main focus of Cassie and Friends is looking for a cure. So a lot of research focus on a cure for juvenile arthritis. But there's also the treatment aspect. So a lot of treatment can be provided to adults, but it's much harder for that to get tested and approved in kids. So there's a lot fewer options. So a lot of the money from Cassie and Friends goes to research, raising money for research for this treatment for children. Like, for example, in myself, I was on a medication all through my childhood where I got an injection once a week and it made me so nauseous, the side effects. Like it handled my arthritis perfectly fine, but it just made me so nauseous. And when I switched to an adult rheumatologist in Kingston, I was telling her about this and I was like, is there anything we can do about the nausea? And I've been asking this forever. And my pediatric rheumatologists were always like, oh, you can try eating a sour candy. You can try watching a show, like things to distract yourself. But when I spoke to my adult rheumatologist, she said, well, why don't you try this pill? She was like, have you ever tried it before? And I was like, no, I've never been offered that. And she was like, oh, well, it's not approved in kids. It's only approved in adults. And this has changed my life completely because now I only do one injection a week because this one has switched to a pill and I get significantly less nauseous. So that's a perfect example of how there's so much more options, so many more options for adults, whereas in children, there's so many less. And this fundraising can provide funds for research for this treatment in children.
Ultimately, Cassie hopes the Kingston Run helps students and families connect.
So firstly, I hope that there's awareness raised around juvenile arthritis and other childhood rheumatic diseases in general, whether that's in the Queens community or the general Kingston community. And as well, I hope that people make friendships and bonds with each other. I hope that parents can meet each other and talk about what they went through, even if it's my dad's coming from Vancouver. So even if it's someone talking to my dad, even if it's not in the same city, just so they have people to talk to that have gone through a similar thing, the children as well, the siblings, I hope that everybody can form bonds and connections that can help them with their disease and diagnosis further on.
Cassie also noted that bringing the first Cassie and Friends run to Kingston has been a true team effort, with support from both the national organization and students right here at Queens.
Yeah, I want to give a big shout out to all of the Queens Rheumatic Disease Club exec. They've been great in finding sponsorships, planning the run, getting the cupcakes, everything like that. I've had a lot of help from them. I've had a lot of help from Marissa and Natalie at Cassie and Friends. And everyone has been very supportive and very helpful in planning this run. And I'm so excited to see how it turns out.
Once again, the first Team Cassie and Friends Kingston Run takes place March 7th from 9 to 11 a.m. at City Park. Registration and donations are available through the Cassie and Friends website. Before we get into more local news this evening, I'm going to turn to your weather and traffic report featuring CFRC's Jesse Bell.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Thursday, March 5th, daytime high of 3 degrees, but with the wind and rain in the forecast, it is going to feel quite a bit colder, around minus 7 or so. Friday, March 6th, we've got a possibility of rain slash freezing rain in the forecast. Daytime high of 2, overnight low of minus 5. And then moving into the weekend, the warmest weather for the year so far, Saturday, March 7th, daytime high of 6 degrees with a little bit of rain forecasted in the afternoon. Sunday, March 8th, 8 degrees with about a 70% chance of precipitation during the day. And then Monday, March 9th, this is not a typo, daytime high of 11 degrees, double digits at last. And it's going to feel like 11 degrees, cloudy but no wind chill, rain, snow, or precipitation in the forecast. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week, and here's a quick note on overnight street parking in the City of Kingston. As of Sunday, March 1st, overnight street parking restrictions have been eased. Overnight street parking is now only banned on nights when the weather conditions require it, so keep an eye on the forecast if you plan on parking overnight downtown. In terms of road closures, Berry Street to Queen Street is closed indefinitely for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. On Tuesday, March 3rd, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., King Street East from Clarence to Johnson Street will be closed for construction-related activity at 285 Queen Street. And Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is closed indefinitely to accommodate construction activity and staging in the area. That's a wrap for this week's traffic report. Until next time, drive safe, everyone.
Thank you, Jesse. Now back to more local news. A new music festival is coming to downtown Kingston this fall. The Downtown Kingston BIA has announced the launch of Road Trip, a new multi-genre festival set to take over Princess Street and Springer Market Square this September. The one-day festival is designed as a full day of music, local vendors, and community programming, with plans to expand in the coming years. I spoke with Downtown Kingston BIA events manager Sandy Griffiths about the inspiration behind the new festival and what folks can expect.
This has been in the works for quite a while. I was wondering if you could give us the background on where this idea came from for Road Trip.
Yeah, so we ran for decades the Limestone City Blues Festival. So I believe it ran for about 20 years, 20, maybe 22 years. And then we noticed, especially after COVID, that audiences were shifting, the landscape of festivals were shifting, and, you know, people were not attending those sort of niche festivals. So the Limestone City Blues Festival was a true blues festival. And it seemed like the landscape was shifting more towards like multi-genre festivals. So something where there's a little bit of something for everybody and every music taste. So we decided to end the Limestone City Blues Festival in 2024. And then the plan all along was to come back in 2025 with a multi-genre festival. We still, you know, we still wanted to produce some sort of larger scale music event in downtown Kingston. And so the plan was to come back in 2025. And then that changed to 2026 when we received a grant to do a winter festival. So we, you know, we sort of threw all of our energy into Spirit of Winter because we received a grant. So we did that in 2025, knowing that 2026 would be our festival deadline. But yeah, so that was always, you know, from the time we said goodbye to the Limestone City Blues Festival, we knew that we still wanted to create a bigger live music event in downtown Kingston for 2026.
Mm-hmm. And why the name and theme of Road Trip? What kind of brought that on?
Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of experience, in-house experience with blues festivals and blues musicians. But when we were talking something like large scale, multi-genre, we decided to hire consultants. And so we worked with two people who are sort of steeped in the Canadian music industry. So Steve Jordan used to be the head of CBC Music, and he's the founder of the Polaris Prize. He actually used to work for CFRC as well back in the day. And then Virginia Clark, who runs the Wolf Island Music Festival, and she's also the owner and operator of Flying V Productions. And they came to us with a proposal, and they came to us with a number of different festival names. And we fell in love with Road Trip for a few reasons. We love the nostalgia of, you know, everyone piling into the car and going on a road trip. We also, we love the idea of Kingston being a great road trip destination for people who are living, you know, Ottawa, Montreal, Toronto, or the larger GTA. You know, we are an excellent road trip destination for everybody in those cities. And we're hoping to pull people from those cities for this festival, to show them what Kingston has to offer and, you know, introduce new people to the city.
Awesome. Yeah. And this is going to kind of take over downtown. I was wondering how Princess Street will change when it becomes the scenic route in September.
Yeah. So we will close Princess Street from Division down to Ontario. We will, I mean, first and foremost, we are a business improvement area. And so our mandate is to service our local businesses. So we will be inviting all of those businesses out onto the street to set up special activations, activities. We'll have vendors, food, and we'll actually have three stages set up on Princess Street. So we'll have one sort of higher up in near the hub at Division Street, and then one kind of halfway down, and then we'll have one at the bottom of the street near Ontario. And we'll have music, live music. We'll sort of pivot from stage to stage so that you have an opportunity to see all of the music that the festival has to offer. So you can, you know, see a great live performance, do a little bit of shopping, maybe have a coffee, have something to eat, work your way down to the next live performance. And that's sort of how Princess Street will run throughout the day. And then in the evening, everything will move over to Springer Market Square, which is where we'll have our main stage event. So we'll have four performances on the main stage, including our festival headliner.
Awesome. And have we announced any of the artists yet, or is that going to be rolling out throughout the summer?
Yeah, that's coming sooner than later, actually. So it'll be long before the summer. We're really, really excited. The lineup is something we're really proud of. Again, we've worked with, you know, Virginia Clark and Steve Jordan, and their input has been, you know, so fantastic. Their knowledge, they're just very knowledgeable people. And it is a true multi-genre festival. So it really offers something for every musical taste.
Awesome. And looking ahead, what's the long-term dream for Road Trip? How are you hoping it kind of grows over the years?
Yeah, so we're starting off this year with a one-day festival, and we really are being conscientious in growing the festival in a rate that's sort of sustainable for us and the city and the partners that we work with to put on such a large-scale event. But we do want to grow it to a multi-day festival. So I think over the next few years, you'll see every year we'll sort of add a new feature, whether it's, you know, an evening club night, whether it's an art installation, whether it's extending a full day and having a different site for a main stage. But yeah, I think this is the first year of what we're hoping is going to be, you know, a festival that's around for a long time and that will really come to sort of define downtown Kingston and reinstate downtown Kingston as this really creative hub for music and art.
That was Sandy Griffiths, events manager with the Downtown Kingston BIA. The first Road Trip Music Festival takes place September 12th, with daytime programming along Princess Street and evening performances in Springer Market Square. As Sandy mentioned, the full lineup and ticket details will be announced in the coming weeks. You can keep an eye out for updates at roadtripkingston.ca. A fitting choice for a film festival in hockey's birthplace, and at a moment when hockey culture itself is a heated topic. The Kingston Canadian Film Festival is bookended this year by two unique Canadian hockey stories. The festival opens with Youngblood, a powerful reimagining of the classic 80s drama, centering the experience of a young black hockey player navigating the road to the NHL, and closes with a special screening of the final episode of Heated Rivalry, followed by a panel discussion exploring its cultural impact. Festival director Mark Garnis sat down with CFRC to talk about how the festival came to be framed by hockey stories this year, and how despite appearances, it wasn't part of a grand thematic plan. I would say these are fitting choices for a film festival in Kingston, hockey's birthplace. I was wondering if you could, speak to the choice to bookend the festival with two Canadian hockey stories.
Yeah, it was definitely not intentional. It was an organic thing. I don't even know if we've ever played a hockey. Yes, we actually played Hubert Davis's previous documentary that we played. I think it was in 2018. It was called Black Ice. So it was a documentary on black hockey players through the years, and it was quite good. So that's the only hockey film that I think we've played during my 12 years with the festival. And it's quintessentially Canadian, and I think if there was a great hockey film that we could play every year, we would. But I think the reality is a lot of sports films are not always great, and so I think the fact that we get to play Youngblood, which is one of the top Canadian films of the year, it's really well done. It's a remake of the classic, and we get to play opening night. It just feels like it almost feels a little tongue in cheek, but it's like it's a great quintessentially Canadian film. And And then, you were mentioning that it was bookended by another hockey program or show. We're playing Heated Rivalry. We're playing the final episode called The Cottage, which is obviously available for anybody that wants to see it online. You know, it's been playing for a while now. But we have some talent coming in that are going to talk about it afterwards. And so there'll be a discussion about the show. It's huge. And so I think for us to embrace that and have some people at the festival who can speak to that show's success is, I think it's important for us to acknowledge the impact that this show is making.
Interest in the hockey programming has been especially strong, particularly for Heated Rivalry. Demand was so high that the screening had to be moved to a larger theater after quickly selling out its original venue. I was wondering if you could speak to kind of where the idea came from and how it kind of came together, because I know it came out quite late at the end of last year, and then being able to get a producer from the show, I feel like that was probably pretty big.
Yeah, like it. I think anybody that has anything to do with the show right now is just in such high demand. So I think when we started talking about doing something with the show. So Crave is a supporter of the festival. So we do work with Crave. So I think we had that conversation or that idea going for a while, whether or not we might be able to do something with the show. And or it's like, I don't know if we can actually get anyone from the show. So I think we aimed high and we were like, oh, could we actually get the stars of the show when we first started thinking about it? And then, you know, as I just mentioned, I think they're doing things like Saturday Night Live now. So they're untouchable right now. But then it's even like, I think made its way through. We're trying to get Jacob Tierney, who's, you know, Canadian film director who we've worked with in the past. And, I believe we've had him to the festival in the early years, but he's just super high demand. And I think they're all also getting ready to make the second season. So, but we were fortunate enough to get, a producer from the show to see the interest in it is crazy. We started it at the Baby Grand and it sold out in like an hour. And so now we've moved it up to the Regina Rosen Theater at the Grand, which is 775 seats. And we've half sold it out in a day. So to me, it's kind of crazy how much interest there is in this show. So I guess that just speaks to its importance right now. And I think people's general curiosity in the show and knowing, I think that they can talk to some people that had a hand in the making of it it's really cool to see that people are showing up in such large numbers for it.
All of this arrives at a complicated moment for the sport itself. KCFF's decision to showcase stories about players from marginalized communities offers both a commentary and a refreshing lens.
I guess I wish I could have said we curated this like back in the summer when we were planning at the festival, but it has happened very organically. So I wish I had a better answer for that, where this is part of like some big plan. Our 2026 anniversary was going to be all about hockey and embracing like the moment. But, I think the nice thing about the films that we're showing, Heated Rivalry, Youngblood, is that like they're showing hockey through a different lens. And so I guess to be honest with you, when we first thought about the idea that hockey might be a theme at the festival, there were some like things happening that were not good, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you turn back the clocks to, I don't know if it's a full year from now, but like when the trials were happening with the Canadian junior team, and I think we knew Youngblood was coming out. We're like, oh, could hockey be a theme at the festival? We're like, this is not timely right now at all to be like celebrating hockey during these trials that are happening for like these awful, awful, awful things that have happened in Canadian junior hockey. So not to bring things down, but like that was a conversation that we had. And we're like, well, you know, I don't think we should go out of our way to be celebrating hockey this year. But then when we actually saw Youngblood and how powerful it was in a story of a black hockey player, and, you know, and then with the Heated Rivalry craze and showing two queer hockey players and their story as well, it's like, okay, this has come about organically and feels right for us to embrace. And then obviously within Kingston, who, you know, we're the home of hockey, and it felt, I think once we saw the full package of films that we could put on offer, and it felt appropriate to embrace it. But you know, it's hockey's. I think that's why it's important to be showing these films and the show that we are, is because it shows hockey through a different lens, which is it's refreshing, because that's not always the story that we hear about hockey in the headlines.
Once again, that was Festival Director Mark Garness on this year's opening and closing films for KCFF 2026. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming, brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.